going to pick up our study there. Normally, we're going to go to 2 John and look at our text verses over there where John said to believe. Get my words straight here. He said that there's the spirit of Antichrist, and every spirit that there are false prophets that are going out into the world. And the number one doctrine that John is concerned about is the doctrine of Christ. This, he said, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, he said, bid him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And he said, the verse before that, he said that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. I've said that every time we've met and looked, but I cannot get over how strong of a statement that is to know that if a person, no matter what their profession is, if they turn away from the doctrine of Christ, I've heard this illustration. There's a man I know, if I called his name, many of you would know the man. He had a tape years ago. He put out this illustration of a young man who's, you know, kind of a, I don't know, the word alternative now means a whole lot different than what it meant 20 years ago. But he kind of had, you know, the long hair, the spiked hair and all that stuff. Baptist church comes to his door and leads him to the Lord, and he goes to church for a little while and then kind of goes home. Nobody checks on him. Then the Jehovah's Witnesses show up at his door and he goes full blown into the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, and he talks about how that young man was backslidden. Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody who holds the doctrine of Christ and says they hold it, and then they take another gospel, prove that they did not have Christ to begin with. And part of the problem is, I understand part of the problem is discipleship and growth. But understand this, if you're saved this morning, I want you to listen to me, if you're saved, you have somebody on the inside to tell you right from wrong when it comes to whether the doctrine is true or not. You have somebody who can tell you that. And the thing is, when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, now I haven't had one knock on my door one time since we've been at the house out here. And that really surprises me. But I've had them knock on our door so many times down in Tennessee. And no matter what they said, there was always a red flag in my heart that told me that what they were saying just didn't ring true. Didn't ring true. There was even times where I was cold on God, and I know you shouldn't say stuff like that because it makes me look human. but you know, there are times when I've been cold on God and I didn't feel like talking to anybody when they came up to the door. I just want to sit down and not do anything that day. But at the same time, there was somebody on the inside telling me that what that person was trying to get me to buy was a really, really bad bill of goods. And if you're one of God's children, you have that on the inside. Now, having said that, let's look in Genesis chapter number 1, because I want to look at just the first couple of verses here and get right into the thoughts today. Of course, you know this in the beginning. Now, once you see this, what does it say? In the beginning, who? God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? So in the beginning, who did the creation? God did. God created everything. Well, if we were to go to John chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, and without Him, speaking of Christ, was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. He created everything. So according to Genesis, according to Moses, God created everything. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus created everything. So you've got God at the creation, you've got Jesus at the creation, but look at verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and who? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So in creation we have God, we have God the Father, the Divine Son, we also have the Holy Ghost, they also have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, in the mindset of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and again, what we're talking about, for those folks who are just kind of new what we're doing, we're looking at a survey of what the cults believe. We've talked how that they will go wrong in different areas, especially when it comes to Christ.
His person, His work, His nature. They'll talk about how that you need to have, they'll go wrong in the Word of God. You need to have their literature. They'll go wrong in the doctrine of last things. What happens after death. We'll get to that after this particular place here. But when we talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses, we've got to talk about the deity of Christ. We have to talk about the person and nature of Christ, who He is. We talked last week, we finished up talking about what they believe about salvation. There is no salvation as we know the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe in what's called the ransom, which is so close to truth yet falls so far short. I mean, you can jump your motorcycle across the Grand Canyon, but I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't matter if you're 1 inch shy of the ledge or 10 feet shy of the ledge, you're still going down. You're still going down. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong on what they teach on that. We saw that last week. What we want to consider this morning is what they believe about the Holy Spirit. And here's what they say. We see from the Scripture that God is in the beginning at the creation. We understand the Gospel of John tells us Christ is there. We also understand that it's the Spirit of God who moves on the face of the waters. But I want you to listen to what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Number one, they don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They'll say this, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Guess what? The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But neither is the word millennium. Neither is the word rapture. Neither is the word missionary. Every one of those is a biblical concept. The word Sunday school. The word vacation Bible school. The word bus route. Van ministry. None of those are in the Scriptures. But every one of us in here would agree that that is a biblical way of getting the work of God done. We all believe that. Just because the word is not in the Bible doesn't mean that the doctrine itself is not found there. They don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. Here's what they say. I'm quoting from their book on, or rather from their website on what is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Here's what they say. The Holy Spirit, and they don't capitalize that, is God's power in action, His active force. They give a few references. God sends out His Spirit by projecting His energy to any place to accomplish His will. Almost sounds kind of New Age, doesn't he? He projects His energy. Further, here's what they say. By referring to God's Spirit as His hands, fingers, or breath, the Bible shows that the Holy Spirit is not a person. A craftsman's hands cannot function independent of his mind and body. Likewise, God's Holy Spirit operates only as He directs it. The Bible also compares God's Spirit to water and associates it with such things as faith and knowledge. These comparisons all point to the impersonal nature of the Holy Spirit. So, here's what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. They will tell you that there is one God, which we believe, but it's Jehovah God, Jesus is a created being, and that the Holy Spirit is just the force. May the force be with you. I mean, maybe they're Jedis, I don't know. It's His force by which He accomplishes things in the world. That sound, I'm telling you, I mean, all jokes aside, Jedi, New Age, it all sounds very New Age, the way they've taken on their understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, when they say that the Holy Spirit is akin to God will sometimes use things like His hands or fingers as symbols of things that He does. We know God's a spirit. So God doesn't have five fingers and five toes like we do. The Bible talks about also that God will cover you with His wings. God is not a giant heavenly chicken. Okay? God does not cover you with literal feathers. That is a figure of speech the Bible uses to tell us the nature of the concept God's trying to get across. So because God's a spirit, God has to use human terms for us to be able to understand who God is. When God talks about His right arm bringing salvation, God is using a figure of speech that everybody knows in the ancient world. That right hand was the hand of power, the hand of authority, the hand that had the power to accomplish what the sovereign on the throne had wanted to accomplish. So we understand that we take the Bible literally, but understand the Bible does use figures of speech. I mean, understand, we use figures of speech all the time. I mean, I never have one time walked outside and stepped into a poodle because it was raining cats and dogs. I'm glad to see some of y'all are awake. We use figures of speech all the time. He was flying down the road. Well, no, he was on the road. And his tires were in contact with the road. He just might have been moving at a very high rate of speed. We say he was flying. We use figures of speech like that all the time. Well, the Bible uses figures of speech as well. when God's trying to convey something. But here's one of the things it says. Notice this. He'll say this, that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Let me give you a little bit more what they say, that we're going to get into what the Scripture teaches. Of course, we're not going to get all this today. We'll have to get some of it next week. Here's something else that they say on their website. The Bible gives the names of Jehovah God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Yet nowhere does it name the Holy Spirit, lowercase h, lowercase s, by name, is what they mean. When the Christian martyr Stephen was given a miraculous heavenly vision, he only saw two persons, not three. The Bible says, he, being full of Holy Spirit, they dropped the thee, gazing to heaven, caught sight of God's glory and of Jesus standing in His right hand. The Holy Spirit was God's power in action, enabling Stephen to see the vision. And we could take more of what they say. So, are the Jehovah's Witnesses right in what they teach about the Holy Spirit? Are they right? Look at me. Move your head from east to west. Side, no, because it doesn't work that way. Okay. The Jehovah's Witnesses will take a few verses of the Scripture, their translation, and bring them out to be able to teach what they believe the Bible says about the Holy Spirit of God. Well, first of all, let's deal with some of this. The Bible does not mention the Trinity. But do we see the Trinity in the Bible? We've seen Him in the very first verse, or the very first book, the first few verses of Genesis. We see the Trinity at work. God's creating. John tells us the Son created all things, and the Spirit of God's moving upon the face of the waters. So we have all three persons of the divine Godhead in cooperation, working in creation. Now, just for sake of time, we're not going to turn to this particular passage, but when Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, what happens? You've got the divine Son in the water. When He comes up out of the water, what happens? The Holy Spirit descends upon Him in the form of a dove. And then there's a voice from heaven that says what? This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You've got the divine Father speaking from heaven. You've got the Son in the water, and you've got the Holy Spirit descending upon Him like a dove. You see the Trinity in Matthew chapter number 3. And let me read you one other verse. The very last verse of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice what Paul says here. When he finishes up, he says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So in closing 2 Corinthians, he uses all three persons of the divine Godhead. So understand, the Trinity is found in Genesis 1. It's found in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. And now we could give you 1 John 5, 7, but the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that verse belongs in the Bible because of scholarship, so-called scholarship out there. So where it says, and it says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So you have another verse there that would be used as a proof that there is a Trinity. But here's something else I want to talk about. Before we even get to the deity of the Holy Spirit, before we even talk about that, here's what they say. I'm going to read it to you again. By referring to God's Spirit as hands, fingers, or breath, the Bible shows that the Holy Spirit is not a person. And it comes on down and says, these comparisons all point to the impersonal nature of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit a person? Is it a person? Is it a person? Is He a person? Well, let's look here for a minute. Another place we could look at, not just for the Trinity, but in Matthew chapter 28, the very last verse, or the very last few verses, give us something very important. Verse number 19, so the next to last verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, watch this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now how many names are mentioned in Matthew 28? The name, singular name. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all are part of that same name. So, you typically don't name something that's not a person. I want to introduce you to somebody. Everybody see this? This is Walt the water bottle. You see him? This is Walt. Everybody say hi to Walt. Y'all are crazy. This is a water bottle. He can't hear you. He can, if he talks back to you, I'm leaving. Amen. This is an impersonal object. It doesn't have a name. We call it a water bottle, but we don't confide in Mr. Water Bottle. We don't pray to Mr. Water Bottle. We don't take Mr. Water Bottle and hold him so close to us that if something happens to him, we all start to bawl and cry. Okay? That's why you don't cry over spilt milk. It's mostly water. Okay? Now, I'm going to take another step here and go beyond just a little bit, and I won't hurt anybody's feelings, but I've got three things that live in my house. I've got Buddy, I've got Annie, and I've got Patches. Not on my britches, but on four legs. Patches. Hannah named him. Now, those are dogs. Now, I know if you're in the Midwest, they're dogs, but we're from down south. They're dogs. D-O-W-G-S is dogs. It's a dog. All right. Now, at some point in time, those dogs are going to go the way of all the earth. They're going to die. And there'll be a little bit of sadness because I've spent some time hunting behind one of them, hunting alongside one of them, and the other one has done nothing but eat my food and, you know, crawl up on the couch and do whatever. And the other one is Hannah's baby. At some point in time, they're all going to die. But I'm not going to bewail their loss like I would bewail the loss of somebody in the world. Watch this. This may floor some of you. And if I said this with certain people in the congregation, they'd vapor lock. But if I am fishing with Brother Artie, we're out on his boat. You got a boat, brother? All right, we're fishing. We're fishing. That's the perfect will of God, by the way. I thought I'd throw that out. You and me are fishing. And I bring one of my dogs along. I bring Buddy along. Sorry, Caleb. Bringing Buddy along. Buddy's a big, fat dog. He's about 30 pounds overweight. The girls call him the big, fat, fluffy marshmallow. Okay. The boat capsizes. I've got a life jacket. Brother Artie was getting out of his life jacket to, you know, fix something on his pole. I can only save Brother Artie, or I can save Buddy. Now, Brother Artie, I've known my dog longer than I've known you. I said that terrible. All right, but now wait a minute. I've known Buddy longer than I have known Brother Artie. But I don't have to flip a coin or second guess which one of the two needs to be saved from drowning. One is an animal that has a spirit in it, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, that causes that animal to live. And yes, dogs show affection, they show loyalty, but he's lazy and I'm not going to get into all that. But Brother Artie is somebody who is made in the image of God. He is one of God's image bearers. And as one of God's image bearers, he is on a higher plane than the dog is. Now, if you said that to a Buddhist, they would vapor lock because they say, I remember one time I had a class and one of the teachers had mentioned about human and subhuman, underneath humans. Like dogs, cats, mice, deer, you know, we kill deer, we eat them, you know, kill cattle. You go out and pull it in the field, charity look out in the cow, at the cows, and she'll say, look at all the hamburgers, you know, trying to raise up, teach a child the way they should go. But talking to that Buddhist in class, he said, I would prefer you not say subhuman, call them non-human. Humans, subhumans, well, he wants them non-human, to where they're on the same plane. They're not on the same plane. Now, I said all that to say this. The dog, even though he has a name, and I'm not going to call it a personality, but a doganality, he's got some type of behavior that he has, that he portrays. I don't have to guess, do I rescue Brother Artie or do I rescue Buddy? I don't have to guess that. I was going to be really mean and call somebody else's name and say I'd have a hard time deciding which one, but I'm not going to say that. I was not going to say anything, Miss Barb. I promise I wasn't going to. I know. But understand this. Brother Artie has a personality because he is a person. That dog may have certain behaviors, but listen to me. He's not a person. And I know if we're live streaming, people are going to hear this and they're going to just go crazy if you have an animal rights person. I mentioned something about people loving their dogs like animals, and there was a lady visiting with us, and she came up. She didn't read me the riot act, but she basically told me that her dogs, her pets, were just like family to her. Well, I'm sorry, but they're not family. They're not people. They are not persons. They do not contribute to society unless they're search and rescue animals, or they work for a canine unit, or they help you hunt an animal. Other than that, they don't contribute to society. They just eat dog food and take up people's hard-earned money. Amen. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that out. Now, I said all that to say this. The Holy Spirit is a person because He has a name. Yeah, Buddy has a name, but Buddy's name is much less important than Brother Artie. Understand this. Amen. So, Brother, I'm holding you high. Now, and of course, he can't hunt worth a lick. I mean, he's one of them dogs. If he had three legs, he'd have to lean against the wall to bark. You know what I'm saying? That's the way he is. He's pretty lazy. So, he's a person. Let me just give you just a couple of these and we'll stop here. The Spirit is referred to as a He. Jesus said in John 16, He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. So, we have Him personified as a He. Well, someone says, well, so are dogs and you know, they're he and she. Well, I understand that, but that doesn't make them persons. The Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, many times the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it. Well, we'll tell you why it's referred to as an it. Okay? There's some construction going on over there. Amen. What it is there's food coming up after service and people are preparing for rain. They're ready for food. That's right. The reason that oftentimes the King James translators, we'll show you this more in depth next week, they use the word it to describe the Holy Spirit because of the way the Greek grammar is when they were translating it. That's all it is. They're just being faithful to that particular grammar. So to be able to say that the Holy Spirit is an it because of certain things, because of the way that we teach, well, may I say to you that we have not just it referred to as it, but we also have the Holy Spirit referred to as a He. So He's referred to as a person. So what we're going to do next week, we're going to come back, we're going to look at Him being a person, and then we're going to look at some references for the deity of the Holy Spirit. And we'll look into that this next week, all right? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and put you at liberty until the Sunday school hour is, well, Sunday school hour is over. So go ahead and we'll finish up. Amen. Come back. Take a short break. Amen.